I'm Kevin O'Coin.
And I'm Brian Ackley. This is Life in the Rough, the podcast.
Episode 23.
23. You know, I've realized that every time I say the number after you, I have to say something about it. So all I'm going to say is, like Mike, legendary, bro.
I know. Before we started recording, you're talking about trying to have a high-profile celebrity intro us. And why not Mike?
Well, I was watching an episode of Entourage recently, and it just fucking slammed the ending with Kanye's song with Rihanna. And I was just like, yo, this fucks. Like, I was thinking, like, we should get Kanye for the podcast. But then I figured he'd want to bill us, and, like, I didn't buy that much AMC or GameStop earlier this year. So I'm really not trying to afford Kanye. But, yeah, anyways, guys, episode 23. We're here. I'm back from Dallas. You may be able to hear a little hoarseness in my voice. I apologize for that. But I survived bachelor party number 2 of the summer. And I don't even think
you're on a bachelor party tear, huh?
Yeah, the problem is, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine a few weeks ago. And not that I truly want to do this, but he came over and he was like, bro, your issue is you're too fucking friendly to people. Like, I don't fucking talk to anybody. Like, I don't get invited to no weddings. He's like, it's awesome. And I was like, yeah, I mean, like, I feel like I've gone too far in my life already at age of 33 to now just disappear. Because then, like, if someone's like, oh, I haven't heard from Brian, like, vocally, or like, he must be
missing. Brian is everywhere, because you have heard from him somewhere. I am sure of that.
Yeah. So I unfortunately, yeah. I mean, I don't want to, like, you know, sound like a snob, but, like, I don't get upset because I'm popular. Like, people want me around, you know. I'm as equally, if not important, to liven up a situation than an open bar. I don't know. Some have said that. Some may have been me or close to me.
Yeah, people, I don't know if I would have used the word friendly. I mean,
yeah, all right. You're entertaining, maybe. Not friendly. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you right to your face. I'm like, yeah, nice haircut. Did you do it yourself?
I was going to say, like, if you're super friendly, you're, like, the biggest asshole of the super friendly people that I've ever met.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Well, you haven't met my mother.
I guess that was asshole-ish for me to say. So
my apologies. No, dude, things are going well. I survived Dallas. Stock market did great today. We're playing golf. Actually, I didn't play much golf, but I have golf planned this weekend. I have Friday's going to thunderstorm. I had Saturday and Sunday morning golf tee times already booked.
Wow. Where are you playing?
Playing Blackledge Gilead side with Dennis Anicelli, listener of the pod, reached out. He's like, kid, where are we playing? I was like, oh my God, you already know. So we got an early tee time Saturday, 8 a.m. Sunday, I'm in a member guest with Jack McGroarty.
Oh, that's this pod weekend?
Yeah. So that's down at Sterling Farms and in Stanford. Luckily, our tee time's not till 9:30. So, I mean, I might head down there the night before. You know, me and the wife do a little family, little getaway for the evening. But if not, I'll just head there first thing in the morning. But 9:30, it's not horrible. I could still leave the house at 8 o'clock and be, you know, 10 minutes earlier than Jack would be for a tee time up here.
Oh, at least 10 minutes early. If you were 10 minutes early for the tee time, you'd be 15 minutes earlier than he normally is. So
I will say, last tee time I had with him, though, he was an hour or 2 hours early, though. So he's got one of them on the most recent ones on his side.
Have you played that course before?
No, I haven't. Oh, I've heard it's nice. So that's going to be great. I'm going to add so much fucking value. I've never played the course before, and he's going to rely on me first for some holes. Can't wait. But the way I'm swinging, with all these strokes that I'm getting on my handicap, the way I'm swinging.
It's a member guest. Like, all the members play the course all the time, and the guests do not. So you're going to be in the same boat.
Yeah.
Unless it's a member guest. Is that the scenario?
You know, I really didn't even get the invite. I didn't even ask. Watch, I'm going to show up there on Sunday, and he's like, walking or riding? I'll be like, walking. I got the push cart. Sweet. It's $146.
No, I won't be that.
No. But I'm sure it'll be more in Stanley.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's also like an event. So it's not like you're paying for your. Now that we're talking about this, it's probably going to be over $100 bill.
They better put a little out at least. I remember last year at the member guests at Stanley, you know, they were giving people free range buckets. You got like a $10 food coupon. And I was like,
by a raffle.
You automatically in a raffle. You didn't even have to pay for skins that day. And they're just trying to trick you. They're like, oh, join that. This is what we do. It's not.
It's not at all.
It's not at all. No. But so quick situation. Charles Schwab, Jordan Spieth, fuck you. Fuck you, coat rack. You goddamn coat rack.
The coat rack. We cannot get rid of this guy.
Dude, I swear to God, he's a lingerer. He is a lingerer.
Dude, you probably watched like none of the tournament this weekend, huh?
None, but I will say, well, the very, very minimal parts. Obviously, guys, I was on a bachelor party, so we weren't huddled around a television. But because the event took place in Texas, I think that's why every bar that we had or went to, like, they had it on. And yes,
oh yeah,
we Texas were at bars in the middle of the day. And where else would we be? Exactly. So, sitting there Sunday and maybe logged into the site, maybe put a little money on Jordan Spieth. Who knows? Whatever. I'm not going to get into it.
So that's why you're upset about the coat rack winning.
Yeah, I didn't want that.
I thought you just hated the rack.
No, I got no problems with the rack. My fantasy team was doing so bad that I didn't give a shit who won. Usually I'm like, I want someone to win who is on nobody's team if it's not going to be me, because then it doesn't help anybody. But even though I knew that both of those golfers were out there on teams, I was like, no. Listen, need to pad that wallet. Do you know how much I spent on Ubers this goddamn week? Everything in Dallas is 40 fucking minutes away.
I believe it. In the Metroplex, I believe they call it down there, right? The Metroplex? I just need to tell you about something that happened with the coat rack, because we've talked about on previous episodes how he's just like a fucking mental case.
At one
point on Sunday, I forget what hole, I want to say it's like the seventh hole, but he was in a greenside bunker and left the ball in the bunker and then finished out the hole and grabs his ball out and just chucks it into the woods. But the most comical thing about the entire ordeal was as he was, you know how like as someone finishes the hole, just the camera goes to them and it shows like their name with like their score or whatever in the upper left-hand corner.
Yeah.
As he's chucking this ball into the woods, his name pops up in the corner and it just says like what score he's at, leader. So this guy's just like, he's leading the tournament on Sunday halfway through his round and just chucks his ball on national television into the woods. Just blatant disrespect. It was just the funniest thing in the world.
Dude, I remember we were actually watching this. It was in between a game of billiards that I fucking didn't do well at and in between a few double shots of Jameson that I didn't do well at. But I saw, because after he fluffed that one in the bunker, they did a replay like four holes earlier. I think he did the same thing.
Yeah, it was like the first or second hole he did it.
Bro, listen, I don't even do that much. I live life in the rough. So
yeah, I will say at the end of the tournament, the announcer did say, and there's Jason Kokrak. He's going to get another coat to put on his coat rack.
Oh God, no!
I cringed so hard.
Oh my God, what was the broadcast on, NBC or CBS?
It was on CBS. I think it was on CBS. Yeah, they had the senior PGA on NBC this week.
Oh Jesus, God, what a horrible fucking lie. I feel like Tony Romo would have said that if this was.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was.
Dude, let me tell you, life in the rough, well represented in Dallas. Well represented.
I'll tell you,
besides the business cards that somehow were like pinned up on walls at all the bars that we were at, I don't even know. Like, somebody must have got a shipment or something. People were out in the merch. We were out at dinner one night. 50% of the people on this bachelor party were wearing Life in the Rough logos. And Kev, this was a place so nice that they asked us to remove our hats when we walked in.
What?
I was shocked. Don't get me wrong. The steak was $58. Filet mignon wrapped in bacon.
Kev, it was like a steak. Why did you wear a hat to a nice steakhouse?
I don't know.
That's not new.
Kev, it was like 9 o'clock at night. We started around like 10 o'clock.
You guys probably didn't even fucking taste those steaks.
No, yeah.
I'm sure you ate the entire thing, but I don't think you tasted any of it.
Yeah, two bites. Right down the gullet.
Down the hatch.
Yeah, so times were good. I'll tell you, I got back last night. Oh, felt like shit when I was, prepping today. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to drink. I don't know if I'm going to have a beer. I looked at these Bud Lights and I was like, you bastard, you. But then I just had one. Once it hit my lips, I had to cut the grass
earlier. Yeah, I know.
So we're all good. There. So get the fuck off of me and my troubles. Charles Schwab, fucking coat rack, fucking wins it.
Jack had Heyman. The coat rack. Jack?
Yeah. Yep. Jack had the coke rack. Yep. Jack came in first. Price came in second. Durham came in fucking 10th. Fucking bullshit. But coolest thing that I saw from the tournament was after the fact. See Justin Thomas going up to that kid and fucking giving him a check.
Yeah. Big Mike. Mike Wysocki.
Yo, I want to pick him up, but he's not worth a roster spot. Not yet, Mike. Not yet. Just get a little bit bigger.
Well, I mean, he's not even – is he even scheduled to play in any other tournaments yet?
He might get an exemption or two, but no.
Yeah, he probably will. I love that kid.
Fucking – that dude, how great is that? Pay it forward and just – Justin Thomas, after he said, I didn't even know the camera was there, which I don't really know about that because this bitch was zoomed as fuck up. And like, how close was that boom, bro? Like, were you mic'd up? Because we heard the whole conversation.
Yeah, the cameraman asked to borrow your charger, Justin.
Yeah, but anyways, fucking what a great gesture. And that's badass. Yeah, so
I was, before we hopped on here, I was just watching a video. They were like asking him about it. And he was just saying, he's like, listen, like, I know like how expensive it is to like, go through Q school and like pay for those events. And like, even out here coming to these events and everything. And it's like, it's so hard to make money. Like when we had fucking Mike Bello on, like he told us all about it and how expensive it is and how tough it is. And he was saying that, he was like, yeah, like Mike lives in Florida. Like we'll play golf. But I told him too, like, text me whenever, like if you have questions, want to pick my brain, like anything. So like, I mean, obviously like giving money helps, but I think he's going to offer a lot more than just that, but everybody's fucked. I was getting pissed. Everybody's bashing. It's like, oh, yeah, he did it with the camera right there. It's like, dude, you didn't give this guy a check.
Yeah. And it also hasn't come out how much he gave him. Like, it looks
weird. It shouldn't, and it won't.
Well, no, right. But it looks weird when it's like, hey, man, listen, you're doing great. I just want to give you this check for $313,000 and really put it towards anything you can. Right. That's just me. It's not a big deal. Justin Thomas giving you $313,000. I really hope you do whatever you need with it. And don't even let anybody know how much I gave you, even though it's $313,000. And like,
sold to the devil.
As he's like holding his phone, like in selfie mode, like, yeah, no, when those videos come out, you're like, all right, come on. Publicity stunt much.
Yeah, it's like you need a production team to give the homeless guy $5. Grow up, dude. Let's go.
But no, come on. Listen, Ralph Lauren really fucking up. Get rid of him off the team, huh? One fucked up thing, and then oh boy, you're all done.
He's trying to get back on everybody's good graces.
Yo, their clothes were whack as shit, anyways. He's better.
Who wants to play golf with a big ass man playing polo? Like that's for polo. That's not
bro,
for golf.
They were gonna have him in button-up vests soon. Like they were gonna revert back to the Ben Hogan days. They were gonna have him out here in a fucking three-piece suit if he was on their roster for the next 3 years.
Some chukka boots with cleats in them.
Looking ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah, I thought that was a cool gesture, though. I mean, if the amount came out, no matter what the number is, there would at least be 50% of the population. Oh, well, why did he only donate that? He's worth this.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, Bill Gates just donated $1 million to like something. Like, oh, but he's worth several hundred billion. Why did he only donate a million?
Donation shaming is fucking ridiculous. The first thing someone would do is they would Google the net worth of the person who donated. And then all right, you know why rich people don't donate all their money? Because then they wouldn't be fucking rich anymore. Like, people do what they do. Like, I forget, it was either the Gateses or Elon Musk or fucking somebody donated like $100 million, or no, maybe it was like $1 billion to something, and people were calling them cheap. And it's like, if I do this like more than 50 times, we're done. Like, there's going to be more instances I got to donate to. We got to spread these funds out, bitch. I got to diversify my donations.
Somebody just donated more than you will ever make in your entire life, and you're out here bashing them for it. So grow up.
Yeah, people get tough behind a computer.
That's true. That's just like we are right now. We're tough.
Real fucking tough.
I'm so tough, dude. I could kick your fucking ass right now. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Try me. Try me. That's right. Yeah. Can't touch me.
I'll log off right now.
You're so soft. You would run. You would run away. Anyway.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
No, I'll just go watch the fucking Friends reunion in bed with
Courtney. Oh, my God. Who would be more drunk, you or Matthew Perry? We can edit that out. I'm sorry.
If it's after this episode, it might be me.
All right. So I played a lot of golf this weekend. Did you play twice before you left? What happened with you last week?
Yeah, I played Thursday and Friday. I had a 6 a.m. Dude, just a PSA. 6 a.m. flights sound like such a good idea when it's a direct flight. But when your alarm goes off at like 3:45, granted, going out of Bradley, one of the best things on earth, you can show up 38 minutes before your flight, get through security, and you're at your seat 31 minutes before your flight.
At that time, you're like waiting for TSA to like clock in. You're like, hey guys, I got to catch a flight, guys. Like, come on.
Dude, it was crazy. I can't even believe how well put together the staff was. Like, everyone just, they were dressed to the nines. The girls looked like they had makeup on for 6.5 hours. I was like, dude, it was wild. But,
dude, working for the airline industry is like working in the casino. There's no such thing as time.
Yeah, no. They said they didn't have booze on the flight, but I'm pretty sure I saw the back two hostesses sucking down some nippers of Tito's.
Yeah, Becky tripped down the aisle twice. So.
Yeah, well, one of them was my foot. But, yeah, I barely got to play, dude. I only played Thursday and Friday. I played Thursday with my buddy Art. That was a fun time. And then Friday, I played another nine because I had to get home, get the dog all situated, get packing. There was not going to be time for 18 on Friday. So
was it a fiasco?
Yeah, but I was able to get, 18 holes in last week. So as horrible
nice.
As I think that is, a lot of people that we talk to would be like, yo, dude, that's dope. I mean,
well, when you and I talk, like, we obviously play an exceptional amount of golf. So when, like, last week I played 18 and I was saying how I hardly played this weekend because we're nuts. We're golf nuts. Yeah, we play a lot of golf and we're in the industry. So it's just an easy excuse. So
listen, man, sometimes it's work. Sometimes it's play. You know, I tell my wife all the time. Sometimes I just have to do it for the people.
Yeah, 100%. Do we have to watch the golf tournament? We're in the industry. We got to do it. I have to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, or I'm going to put my phone on, pop a Bluetooth speaker in my right ear.
That's right.
You'll be on my left. We're good.
Hundo P. Everybody's happy. Well, I did not play 18 holes. I played 54.
That's more.
That's like a lot
times,
more.
Times three about.
Yeah. Roughly. So I walked 27 Saturday, walked 18 Sunday, and then I walked 9 last night, Tuesday night.
Man,
we have opposite schedules. Like I usually play Saturday, Sunday, and I'll usually try to squeeze in 9 on like an early weeknight. And you always play like Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Well, Friday I'm out of work by 3. So I can get 18 after work on Friday. Plans pending, but yeah, always got to get around in on the weekend and Thursday Courtney works late. So you know, she's not missing me. If I don't get home till 8, she's not home till 8:30. So.
Right. Yeah. That's a major factor in the times that I play as well. That's actually the reason I played so much this weekend. Julia worked Saturday and Sunday. So I was pretty much available. But yeah, well, I'll tell you about Saturday and then we'll go to and fro, but
yeah.
So I'm all jacked up playing with Pat and Pat again, cause they're my boys. That's what I play with Saturday morning.
Still not listening to the podcast.
I don't think they're really just. I just don't think they're podcast guys.
Fucking losers.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is the second weekend in a row, or maybe it was the weekend before. Starts off with a par 5, and it's like a weird par 5. Like I hit hybrid instead of drivers because of the shape of the hole. The second time, I just absolutely topped the shit. Oh. Didn't even get it to the fairway. Anyway,
Pat and Pat must think you are just. a fucking spaz. Like, kids either crushes the ball 280 down the middle or he just fucking top. They're like, do you think he just rips nippers? You're like, when we're not looking,
this kid?
Fucking boy, like, he's all over the place.
That's true. I am all over the place. Anyway, I go double par, bogey, double, double on my first five holes. So I'm 7 over through five.
Oh boy. Solid start.
Yeah. So I'm hot. I am hot.
Oh yeah.
I then hit a sick shot. Number six is like a longer par three. Hit a sick shot. It's like if I hit the green, it's a sick shot, but I had a pretty good shot. Just slipped out my birdie putt, make par. Then I go birdie on seven, par on eight, bogey on nine. So I get out 7 over. So, okay. Yeah. So if I'm 7 over through five and I leave the front nine at 7 over, I'm pretty content with that.
Yeah. You crush the bat. It's in your head.
Yeah, crush the...
You have so much problems with the front. It's all in your head, man.
Dude, the front has been my fucking nemesis this year. It's been driving me nuts. And I'll tell you about it because there's multiple rounds this weekend that this has happened. So anyway, make the turn. I go par, bogey, par, 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 birdie. So I'm even through five on the back.
Love
so
that.
The first five holes on the front, I'm 7 over. First five holes on the back, I'm even. I then go bogey, double bogey on 7, 8, 9 for 40. So I shoot 83.
Nothing wrong with that, except you're an 8-something handicap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I shot an 83. I shot an 83 with four doubles.
Yeah, well, see, that, and that's that's a good takeaway, right? Because when you have doubles, there's something that's causing that, whether it's you've missed the fairway and then that causes you to miss the green, and or you have a duff green side, you three putt. There's a lot of things, if you're hitting the ball consistently well, that when you see that you have a double, like you put two fucking boxes around it, you got to notice it.
Right, and two of those doubles on the first on those first five holes were, I put my ball into the water.
Oh, Kev, don't do that.
Yeah.
Kev, real quick, I don't want to interrupt the story, but I just mentioned the boxes around the, when you do your scorecard, do you put a box for a bogey, a double box for a double, a circle
when I'm writing it down?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I never do that. I've never done that in my life. But also I don't really use the score. Like I always forget to grab a scorecard. So I just record it on my phone usually.
Hmm. Okay.
No, do you do that?
Come on. That's such a silly question. I use
four. Actually, I've seen you do it.
No, I use four fucking lines when I fill out a scorecard. No, three. My score, the score in it, the putts in the bottom right hand corner. Below that's fairways hit. Below that's greens hit. But no,
If I do write it down, I write all those things down.
But dude, I'll tell you, it's fucking difficult. Like, putting two boxes around one number and fitting it in that little box on the scorecard. Like,
yeah.
NBC makes it look so much easier when they show people scorecards than it really is to write that. And like three fucking circles.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I'd love to see the guy that has the penmanship that writes on the scores for the Golf Channel and NBC.
Well,
they're always perfect. I don't know how they do it.
Right. And I have seen the scorecards that the pros, they don't fucking, they just write the number.
Right.
And they're all
what I will do is I'll occasionally do like in the little like half box below, I'll put where I am to par.
All right. Okay. No, it's all right. Just wondering. Tells a lot about a person.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, there's not much to say about me anyway. So, yeah. So, I mean, I was pissed off with the 43 on the front, ended up getting shooting 83. So I was pretty happy because I played well in the back. Just those last three holes really fucked me. And then I decided to walk another nine by myself. And I was like really pissed off because I just went bogey, double bogey. And then I parred one.
Was it right away? Did you just fucking make the turn?
Yeah, I just went.
Kids got energy. You didn't eat food at the turn?
Or no, I didn't. So my thing was like, if I like sit down and like start taking a break, like I can't get back up.
I agree.
So I was like, I'm just going to power through.
It starts to hit you, but no fuel. The kid was running on fumes.
Oh, I had I brought like a Gatorade with me. And we played quick. Like there was like hardly anybody on the course because like the weather, it was kind of rainy. Like we played pretty quick. Like,
okay. I'm out here sounding like a worried mother. Go ahead.
I played 27 and like the time I would have played 18 typically on a Saturday morning. So well,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. So I'm really hot coming off bogey, double bogey. I'm like, I probably shouldn't play again, but you know, I'm going to, because like, what else am I doing? And I par one, which is like a long, it's a shorter hole, dogleg right, but I hit a perfect drive, hit a great approach shot, lipped out my birdie putt, tap in par. So I'm like, oh, okay, Kev. Okay, maybe the third nine's your nine today. And then I proceed to triple bogey the second hole with that nine. Ouch. I then birdie three and triple four.
Oh, see, and this is, this is, so if you were someone like me, you'd be driving yourself fucking crazy just trying to figure out all the designs on your goddamn scorecard.
Oh, right. But it was the weird, like, even my birdie, I hit a terrible tee shot. I hit like a big slice, which like, I just like, since I got my new driver, like my miss is like a hook. Like I don't hit slices anymore. I just hit a huge slice and I had this super awkward lie. I just happened to hit a great shot and I made a great putt. Like it was just like a couple lucky shots. So I go, I got the birdie, then I get triple, then I go bogey, par, double bogey, par for 45, nine over 45, which combined with another nine hole round I've been waiting for,
yeah,
for my handicap, which was like a 48.
Oh no. Well, actually, yeah. No, that's not bad for you though, because
yeah, it didn't count towards my handicap.
Fucking what, 93? That's never going to get counted in your best 10.
Right. Exactly. It's, I think it's your best 8 out of 20 that they average, right?
Maybe in New York. No, I'm just kidding. I thought it was 10.
It's something like that. I don't know. I don't really know exactly what it is, but it's something like your worst scores don't count.
Right. So it was my understanding, and I know somebody will correct me if I'm wrong about this. Oh, Eddie Freeman did that a couple weeks ago. Bringing it in just for the fact checker, when Pivallo played, they play as PGA professionals. They are pros. They're not amateurs. So that's the insight that we get. It is my understanding that you have 20, your last 20 scores, they just take the best 10 of them. And then as you keep going, you know, the latest one knocks off and it goes to the most recent. And so like, right, if you have a stretch, you know, 8 rounds in a row where you're shooting lights out, you know, 3 months down the road, you're going to have a stretch where all those numbers cancel out. So if you don't continue to play to that level, your handicap's going to start increasing pretty rapidly.
Yeah, and that's exactly the scenario I have. Because all of my great rounds are from like these first 2 months of the season. Like I've just had a really great start to the season, been playing really good golf. And I'm at the point, like I was looking at my handicap or like on my Gin app, and if I want to replace a score, I have to beat like an 83 to replace a score on my scores that count.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah.
Damn, I don't. Dude, that's awesome. I'm not even 20 in yet this year. I have 17 scores logged. So I have 3 still remaining from 2020.
Yeah.
But they're bad. A 91, an 89, and a 95.
Your handicap is going to drop dramatically, I feel like, this year.
My next 5 scores that I'm going to drop are a 91, 89, 95, 91, and 95.
Do any of them count?
No.
Right. So those are like free scores that you're dropping that you could
replace with much better ones. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, so Thursday I went out. And, dude, honestly, I mean, I hadn't. So today I picked up a club and just to feel how great it felt in my hands. Once
feel a shaft in your hands.
Yeah. You know, a little dry tack, medium size grip.
The midsize is so nice.
Everyone needs it. So I picked up a club for the first time today and I was like, dude, I can't wait to get back out there. And I was like, I hope that I can just keep it up and just, you know, find the rough, but maybe find the green after that. Who gives a shit? Like, but it is what it is. So Thursday I went out, my buddy Art had texted me earlier this week or earlier that week. He's like, dude, I want to get out there. I was like, no problem at all, man. Let's grab like a 6 o'clock tee time. We'll have a little, I knew it was going to be a long time, but it was great. We played till dark. So we carded 9 holes And then we like went from nine and just dropped in the fairway. And so like, I was not going to start counting any of these holes, right? Like threw a ball in the fairway. On the second hole, we actually just shot under the par three from like the back of the green on the first hole. So like we gunned it with the laser. Like, so we really start just so we could get through the last like five holes and back to the clubhouse before like 8:45 and it got dark. So it was good though to get some extra iron shots in, some good feel shots. But for the round, let me just tell you this to start. So I only hit three fairways.
Okay.
I hit three fairways. I hit five greens.
Okay.
And three of the four holes in which I missed the green, I one putted. So it was clicking in its own way. Also, some of the time, like you miss the green by like 5 yards. Like sometimes it's easier to have a wedge in your hand than it is to be on the green 50 feet away with a putter, you know?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I was just leaving it pretty nice. So I started, I went par, bogey, had a little trouble with the third hole par five. I got into some trouble off the tee. Bogey. It is what it is. Followed up though with a birdie. So I'm like, kid, come on. Oh, give me that stroke. That. Dude, it was sick. So hit a tee shot right down the fucking middle. This that downhole real short hole. So I'm only using
Yeah. Bird.
And I put it 82 yards out right in the fairway. And I was like, okay, all right. Pull out a sand wedge, put it to like 3 inches from the cup, maybe 2 inches. Like literally I tapped it in with my wedge. Shots.
You
like
are
that,
sick.
Dude, I know. Shots like that is like, yeah, I know. Anybody see that? You recorded that? No? All right, that's okay.
Dude, I love that shit. That's sick.
Dude, it's the best feeling ever.
Hell yeah.
And so I go par, bogey, birdie, par, go to the ninth hole and I'm even. So stripe one right down the fucking fairway, put one on the green. I'm above the hole by like 13 feet, put it past by like 6 feet. I fucking tapped this and it rolled by, and I had a putt for about 5 feet for par. And I was like, come on, I'm fucking draining these all day. This ain't no problem. Fucking lips out left. Dude, don't get me wrong. Like I was so upset. Like, I mean, but a 1/37, like that's fucking awesome. And dude,
that's sick.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I went home and like, I definitely thought about it after. I definitely thought about it before bed. I did, like, there were definitely times where I was just like thinking about that putt and like, I pulled it a little bit. I didn't pull it, but I didn't put it on the line that I needed to put it on. And I knew that. And it just irked me. Granted, I've shot under par before on nine. So it wasn't like going to be some huge accolade for me, but it did, like, after the fact, like, damn, this is fucking bullshit. Like, I had that in the fucking bag. And then also, that sets up your next nine really fucking easily. Like, all right, I'm going to marry, because I've already had all pairs. So, like, this was going to be the first nine of a next score. So, like,
right,
you go out there, even through nine, you just have so much more. It's almost like you're not even worried about it when you're, you know, trying to lower your handicap.
100%.
So that was Thursday. So before I get to Friday's round, there was just something that I wanted to touch on because it really has – I've really started to take notice of it, and it's a problem, and we need to fix it. People going out in twosome, it's a twosome, then a single, then a twosome. Listen, twosomes. If every twosome is waiting on every twosome, why don't you just join up and make a foursome? And singles, don't you fucking do it. Don't you fucking do it. You wait for two singles behind you on a tee box, and you just fucking hit off, and you weeble wobble your ass up the fucking fairway, through the fairway, to the rough, out of a tree where you kicked your fucking ball. I've got no fucking patience for it anymore, Kev. I'm sick of it.
Dude. I'm so glad you just said this because this exact – I'm not going to talk about my round, but I'm going to talk about this topic right now because last night when I decided I'm going to go walk nine, I know it's going to be slow. I don't care. I'm behind a single this whole time. And he like seems inexperienced on the course. Like doesn't seem like he knows that he should like wave anybody up, whatever. I'm like, I'm through five holes. I literally get to the sixth hole, which is a par three. He's waiting to tee off when I get there and does the same thing those guys did to us at Tekoa. He's like, these weeknights, man, they're so always get stuck behind leagues. Meanwhile, there's another single behind me putting on the previous hole. So this kid, like, just like, I could just tell he wanted to play by himself. Like, didn't really know. I'm like, what? Just go ahead. Like, he didn't seem very great or like fun to play with. So I'm like, just go ahead. And then I just asked the last guy to join up with me for the last like four holes.
Look at that. Kev knows what's up. But I mean, that sucks. The guy probably had a personality of fucking cardboard. Like, you don't want to play with that
funny
guy.
Thing.
But you don't want to be behind that guy.
No. Well, the guy ahead of me, yeah, personality made of fucking cardboard, whatever you said. But the guy behind me joins up, super personable, talking the whole time. I find out he is the talent for the 2-7 slot on like one of the local radio stations around here and has been that for the last 20 years. Just like super fun guy to play with. His name D Scott. Everybody check out D Scott. He also has a podcast.
Hold on. Before people start to go to fucking search D Scott's fucking podcast, you better give him a fucking business card, got a plug or something. Come on, Kev. All right. So
we talked podcasts like three out of the four holes we played together.
All right. Well, I'm just saying we need.
So D Scott's out there. D Scott will be listening.
All right. Well, we're just looking for an FFC, you know, a future firm commitment, and we can set something up and we will handle that. Okay. All right. Exactly. Continue.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying like, just like let people play with you. You might meet somebody that's a good time to play with.
When I was a member at Shenandoah, yeah, years ago, when I was living in Groton, I paired up one day with, what was his name? It was something Cole. He was a NBA analyst at ESPN, and
wow.
he was so fun to play with. Like he did like the 11:30 slot on like NBA TV or whatever on ESPN. Like I had never even heard of him before I played with him, but like you'd be surprised the amount of people that you're going to meet on a golf course if you put that one fucking foot forward and say, "Hey man, do you mind if I play with you?" Like it
right.
Gosh. Dude,
like when you think about playing golf, like the amount of time you legitimately spend like right next to somebody talking to them for an extended period of time is so minimal. Even if that guy fucking sucks, just do it because you're going to enjoy your time on the course a lot more. You're not going to be waiting as much.
Dude, Kev, I agree with that. And there are times I'll golf with friends and I like in my head, there are like times where I'm like, do they think I'm ignoring them? Like, I'm just, I'll say like good shot and I'm going to my ball. Like we don't have to all 20 or all 18 holes the entire day, just be having a conversation. If you're in a cart, that's so much easier because you're just having a conversation, but like you're walking in separate directions. Someone might have to yell somebody like you're trying to think about your next shot. Maybe like,
dude, I can't tell you how many times you and I have played together and I've been leaving the course and just been like, fuck man, there was like 3-4 things I meant to talk to this kid about I've been meaning to talk to him about and I just like totally forgot to bring it up. Now I gotta text him like I'm like a fucking like a little like girlfriend of yours. I need to talk to Brian. I miss him. I need to text him.
I feel so in the zone though sometimes when I'm playing. Like I even have the mount on my push cart for my phone like fully facing me, but obviously if you're not looking at it at the time, whatever, but like there'll be times I look at my phone, I'll get a text message and it's like an hour and 45 minutes before or like, and it's almost like, wow, I haven't looked at my phone for the last like hour, 45, 2 hours. Like I'm dialed in guys, unless I'm recording content for the course, for the fucking pod or for me to analyze after and overanalyze. Yeah.
We are both so guilty.
Dude, I love
it. I'm there to play golf. I'm not there to hang out with you.
I love it when I put it in slow motion. Like I'll edit all these videos, put it in slow motion. Like, oh, that's where it's wrong. Yeah, Brian. Sure. That's where the problem is. Not all the other things. So
yeah. Anyway, no. Friday. Tell me about Friday, Brian. I feel like we've interjected into your round.
Friday was kind of stress-free. I golfed with, so I headed to the course for a 3 o'clock tee time. My cousin John shot me a message when I was on my way there, and he was like, he played the front nine at Gilead earlier that day. He was like, I played with some buddies. And I was like, yo, why don't you just join up with me? And then, yeah. So we ended up playing nine, and it, like I said, man, kind of stress-free, nothing great. I mean, really nothing great. I hit two fairways. I hit two greens. But I went bogey, par, par, bogey, bogey, par, bogey, par, bogey. I shot a 41, five over, which there was nothing spectacular. I didn't have any three putts. There was nothing really spectacular going on. I mean, a 41, shooting five over when I only hit two greens and two fairways, like, I one putted both par threes to par them both.
A 41 is good golf though.
I know, but like, there's nothing like, listen,
you know, like, it was nothing spectacular.
Well, no,
no birdies, no doubles.
Yeah. You don't get some blood flowing, a 7 foot butt to say bogey and not get a fucking double bogey and try to put all those squares in that little box.
Dude, or I'd rather go birdie double than par bogey 100% of the time.
If you wrote your scorecard like me, you wouldn't. But yeah, no, you are right. Like, but it just, there's something more exciting. Like, even the round I played Thursday, like, I had two bogeys and a birdie. Everything else is pars. Those pars were sexy because I was slamming greens. I was hitting fairways. Like, I was out there like I should be doing it. This, it's right. I miss a fairway. I'll miss just off the green, maybe chip it close, and maybe I'll, you know, maybe it's only a 4 foot putt for par. Maybe it's an 8 foot putt, but like it just didn't seem, well, actually, no, I'll tell you what was a little exciting. John went 5, 7, 8, 7, 5, 3, 7, 5, 5. Now he shot horrible. I'm not even going to add those numbers up because I didn't even do it on the scorecard. But he shot like a 38 on the front of Gilead before I met with him. And he's like, dude, I am feeling it. It's time to crush it. And I was like, all right, man.
John, go home.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's
do what it.
Yeah, that's what his fiance said too. He was on the 90s. And you know how that goes. You know how that goes when, like, you get a text and it's like, oh yeah, you're playing again? I thought you were gonna be home at 3:30. Now it's 6:30. Listen, we've all
these
been there.
Guys in front of me. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, listen, he did the executive. He made an executive decision. He brought home dinner. She was happy as a clam. Listen, if you stumble, you just get right back up and you bring home food. That's the key to every woman's heart. Some good food.
Well, I mean, hey, if you shoot 38, all you gotta say, hey, I could potentially shoot the best round of my life today. I'll be home later.
Yeah, then he was struggling to break 60. But dude, it
on nine.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, so I played Thursday and Friday and end up with a total score of 78. I mean,
love that. That's what I was gonna say too. It's like, yeah, like that second nine wasn't anything to like write home about necessarily, but like it was a solid round and you combine it with a 37.
Right.
That's a great 18-hole score towards the handicap. Book it. That must have brought you down.
Oh, it brought me down a full point. I'm now at like 13-1.
Let's go.
Yeah, dude, it's just gonna keep going down.
You weren't playing good earlier in the season too.
No, and I wasn't. I was swinging too fast. Another thing that I started to do, and this is super difficult to fucking describe, and if it sucks, we'll edit this out. But almost when I was swinging the club, before I swing, I almost try to extend my arms a little bit. So I just have the littlest gap with my right arm, just so I know that I'm not swinging into my body, but I'm getting my arms out a little bit. When I do it with any of my, from like a 7 iron on, as long as I do that, I'll hit it clean. You know, in 8 in, you're just like, you waggle that shit, you smack that shit, and then you hope you're on the green. But my longer, you know,
you're a nasty pedal.
Nasty pedal. But my mid to longer irons, like, I really have to just, it's almost like when you take the club back and you look at the club just like Justin Thomas and a lot of other professionals do, just to make sure your swing plane's online. I almost do like a waggle with it, like with my top of my shoulders and my upper biceps, very little biceps, but in the area of where biceps and triceps should be. And then
monoceps.
Yeah. And then I just reach out, extend a little bit, come back to the ball, make sure I still feel a little bit of a gap, and fucking dude, it's really helped with the contact on my irons.
Yeah. Dude, it's amazing how much of your golf swing has to do with just your setup.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one of the biggest takeaways I got from taking a couple lessons last year is like, if I set up properly, like at the end of the day, the swing itself is not going to change that much because like your body can only move in certain ways. But if you set up appropriately and keep the same swing you have, essentially, ball's going to go.
Most of the time you're going to have the same swing, but if you're not lined up,
right,
the same, if your grip's not the same, then that club's not going to be the same. So therefore the ball is not going to end up doing the same thing.
Right.
So how the fuck did the rest of your golf go?
Dude, so this past weekend, the weather was absolutely terrible. Like the first, I don't know, 9 holes of Saturday's morning round was rain. On Friday, I bought an umbrella. And I got my new push cart, which we've talked about. So I had the umbrella, which was great. Worked out for the first 9 holes. On Sunday, I ended up playing alone. Because it was shitty weather again. It was raining. One of the Pats was going elsewhere. And the other Pat was like, if it's going to rain again tomorrow, I'm going to be out. Like, I'll do one day of this. I'm not doing two. Anyway.
So you know what, Kev, hold on. Until they listen to the pod, if you're golfing with them both, just call it P2. Because I don't think we need the extra half second to give them both credit. Then they want to get it, we'll give them names. P2.
Anyway. So it was raining from like the third or fourth hole on. And like once I made the turn, it kind of picked up a little bit. It was never like super, super heavy rain, but it was just like a steady rain the entire time. But I will say, walking with a push cart and having the umbrella, I stayed extremely dry, and it was really nice because it was obviously dead. Like I was behind a foursome, but like they played very fast for a foursome. Like I hardly even waited for them. And even when I was waiting, I didn't mind because I just had my umbrella and it was nice. I was in like my own little bubble for like 4 hours all morning on Sunday. So anyway, I'll tell you about my round. So I start off par.
I want to say I'm a huge advocate of the umbrella.
Dude, I'm going to wear this thing in the sun. Are you kidding me?
Kev, you don't wear an umbrella, but we can act like you're looking at your umbrella as a poncho and then wear it. But
push cart will wear it. I wear my push cart.
Guys,
we're wearing each other.
You may see it posted on the gram. There are many photos of me on the golf course, standing under an umbrella, just waiting for my turn to golf. Listen, if I find the fairway, if the kid is hot and he's finding fairways, he doesn't need to also be hot from the sun and the humidity. I need to stay in the shade. And that's why I usually tell people, oh yeah, I aim for the rough. I like to be in the shaded areas. No, I don't, but my ball fucking goes there. So it makes me sound better when I say that.
No, I'm just bad at golf. Leave me alone, guys. But yeah, I agree. The umbrella is great to have. The nice part, I realized this on Saturday, but the nice part about it too is that the umbrella holder itself can pivot once I loosen it up. So I can like keep the umbrella attached to it, but like throw it down so it's even with my bag.
Oh god.
So even when it stops. This new push cart's really got me going. Like it's got me hot. Anyway, so the first 3 holes Sunday morning, I go par, birdie, par. So I'm 1 under through 3 and I'm feeling good.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm going into like a shorter par 3. It's like a forced carry. Like it's just like the tee box and the green. Otherwise it's bullshit. I go into the bullshit and end up making triple. So I'm pumped up. I'm like, oh, I'm 1 under through 3. And now I'm 2 over through 4. Fuck me. I suck at golf. So I make that triple. And then I go bogey, bogey, triple, bogey. And then I par 9 to shoot 44 on the front.
Not your best.
So, no. Well, I mean, when you start off 1 under through 3, you do not want to be 8 over through 9. I will say that.
That's accurate.
Anyway, like I said earlier, it was a tale of a shitty front and a pretty decent back. So on the back, I go par, par, bogey, par, bogey, par, 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 par.
Ooh.
For a two over 38.
Kids so hot.
I go 40, yeah, go 44, 38 for an 82. So 10 over on Sunday. I was, dude, by the time I got to the back nine, I was just like in a groove. Like I was taking my time. I was, that foursome was in front of me. So I was like, I was in no rush. Occasionally had to wait for them, but I was hitting the ball pretty well too. And even on, I was playing slow enough that like when I hit a bad shot, I had enough time to kind of forget about it by the time I got up there. Like I think we say that all the time about walking. Like when you ride, you get to your ball so quick that like, you're still steaming about your last shot. When you're walking, you have some more time to like decompress or whatever.
Oh yeah.
But I was like especially taking my time on this day, so like I was just I think that it was like helped my my mental space as far as playing golf. So yeah, shot 82, which felt pretty good. And that round actually replaced a round on my gin, so that brought me down to an 8.4, which I feel fucking sick about. I was trying to get into single digits. Like the best handicap I've had previously was like 12 before this year. I'm at an 8.4. Like I'm happy with how I'm playing golf right now. So
I mean,
granted, I mean, hey, save this little clip because I know in a month, 2 months from now, I'm gonna be steaming. I'm gonna be playing like absolute shit. So don't let me forget the positives.
Yeah. I wouldn't let you do that, bud. Listen, it's only gonna get better. It's only gonna get better.
I fucking hope so.
Unless it gets worse.
Anyway, I also played Tuesday night. I played nine. I shot a 44. Not really anything to talk about, but I played a lot more golf than you this weekend. So
that's all right. That. I'm going to be getting after it this weekend. I've got 36 holes planned. The only reason I'm not playing Friday, it looks like we're getting scattered thunderstorms all afternoon. So I'm going to be tense.
On Friday?
Well, in my area, you live fucking 900 miles away from me.
Yeah.
And that's,
I have nothing planned this weekend.
No golf, none.
So Abby Kay, who was previously mentioned on the podcast,
the last fucking three podcasts, Abby's fucking made a guest appearance.
She may as well be our third. Her and Jack, like we should have a four-person podcast.
Jack's been pretty tight that we haven't had him on yet. He's mentioned that to me at least half a dozen times while on the golf course.
If Jack wants to come on the podcast, he can start offering some value.
Well, that's what I said. I said you need to fucking add value, bro.
Anyway, we're going to Abby Kay's place, hanging out with her and Marshall, her fiance, who's my very close boy.
Marshall.
And I haven't confirmed anything. I actually just texted him seeing if we're playing golf this week. So hopefully I'll get to play 18 when I'm out there. And then we're going to my mom's house on Sunday into Monday because my sister, nephew, and brother-in-law are coming out. So I don't know how much golf I'm going to be able to play. So we're kind of swapping weekends here.
Yeah,
because you sound like you have a lot.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna hammer at least 36. We've got coming up. You and I are gonna have our second major coming up. We're gonna run it back.
Yeah, the Run It Back Invitational.
We can call it the Run It Back Invitational. Absolutely, that's an awesome fucking name. I love that you contributed there with that fucking golden nugget. That's fucking awesome.
We had to talk about the Invitational, so yes. I'm glad that we just did this.
We're locked in June 19th. The location may still be tentative. It may back be at Tocoa Country Club.
That was a cool course. Like it was very, every hole was very different, I would say.
Yeah. And I think it would give us, you know, we'd be out there a little bit swinging the ball a little bit better. We're a lot more tuned in with our game. We played the course once. We'd have a little better understanding of it. We'd show the kids from the local college how to really fucking play that bitch.
I mean, hey, this last week we shot 37 and a 38. Like, yeah. We're playing golf right now.
We look like we know what we're doing, my friend. And then we have we reached out to the Pints and Puck guys. We're just working on back and forth, getting something that will work with our schedules. So we have the podcast Best Ball Battle that is going to also be coming up this summer. We'll keep you guys informed about that. Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of exciting stuff coming up in the heart of the summer. My Myrtle Beach trip is coming up, getting at least, you know, 3-4 days of golf down Myrtle Beach there. That'll be epic fucking content to bring back for you. I'm going to have to record myself in case I don't remember all of it, but it will be golden.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, we have a lot of stuff coming up. It's the fucking summer. That means it's golf season. We are both obviously looking forward to it. I can't wait for the next major. The Pints and Putts battle. I'm excited for that as well. Obviously, more details to come there. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's all we have for you guys.
Guys, listen, we appreciate it every fucking week. We're glad that you choose to listen to us in the middle of your day. We appreciate the support. If you want, give us a like, give us a subscribe, give us a comment, give us a review. Let us know if you are sick of hearing me ramble and you want to hear Kevin really fucking, you know, hone in on it. Or if you think Kevin sounds fucking weird, just make a comment. It could be from an anonymous source. Like, you don't even have to put your name. Just give us some fucking feedback and we'll see you next week.
I'm Kevin O'Coin.
I'm Brian Ackley. We'll catch you guys later. Life in the Rough, the podcast. Woo, 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 woo.